Welcome back to Scored Sports Podcast. On the Osis Podcast, Lane Frank, we're now at episode 163. So 163 episodes through, and I got action-packed episode planned for you. The final four is set after a great March Madness we've had. MLB, great first week we had there. NBA playoff race coming down to the wire. Great NFL trades going on right now. So much more. Stay tuned for an action-packed episode 163. Let's hop into it. Let's start out episode 163. How we always do with the headlines in the NBA. First thing in the NBA, let's talk about right here. Steve Clifford, head coach of the Charlotte Hornets, in his second stint as the head coach of Charlotte Hornets, announced that he's going to be done being the head coach of the Charlotte Hornets after the season, and that he's going to move into a front office role. Now, this is significant because A, it's NBA head coaching position opening up, and B, because Steve Clifford is not a good NBA head coach. Maybe he's a good NBA guy. I don't know. Maybe that's why he's going to the front office. But from my opinion, he's not a good NBA head coach. Did nothing his first stint in Charlotte, did nothing in Orlando, and has done nothing in his second stint in Charlotte. And this is just bad management by the whole entire Hornets franchise. I know, they were dealt a tough hand because James Borrego was not the greatest head coach. They fired him. They got Kenny Atkinson, great. Kenny Atkinson kind of left them high and dry after being their head coach for about 2 weeks. Okay, they took on Steve Clifford again, thought it would work out, it really didn't. And now you're sending back progress of LaMelo Ball. LaMelo Ball is now going to be on his third or fourth NBA head coach. You want to count Kenny Atkinson. Brandon Miller is going to be on his second NBA head coach in just his second year. These are your two superstars, especially LaMelo Ball. LaMelo Ball is not 19 years old anymore. You can't just wait around for him to be this next big thing. Has LaMelo Ball ever made an All-Star game? Because I thought LaMelo Ball's career was going to skyrocket after his rookie year. Hasn't really taken off. Not saying that he's been bad, but he's just playing a little bit better in his rookie year, which is not what you expected, but injuries can get in the way. Do they have a great supporting cast around him? I say no. But now you've got Brandon Miller, who can be great for you. New ownership coming to Charlotte. A new head coach coming to Charlotte. Just wanted to bring that up right there. This really sets back the development right here of LaMelo Ball and Brandon Miller. A decision that needed to be made to get rid of Steve Clifford. But was there a decision to be made to hire Steve Clifford in the first place? Absolutely not, in my opinion. That's my thoughts on the Steve Clifford situation with the Charlotte Hornets. We got the NBA playoffs coming up next week. Great stuff. Who's going to make the NBA plan? The Warriors? The Rockets were beefing over a 10-seed spot, everybody. I love it. Draymond Green, never, ever changing. He's going to fight Houston Rockets for that 10-seed, literally or figuratively. We're going to figure it out soon. But it's about for the news in the NBA. And the NFL, blockbuster move happened on today. Stephon Diggs, superstar wide receiver, traded from the Buffalo Bills over to the Houston Texans. Great move for the Texans. Saw something the other day. Houston Texans really the fastest rebuild of all time. And it's true. They really did. They had a great rebuild. But also, there were some points where they weren't even trying to rebuild. After that 2019 season, great. Made the playoffs. 24-0 lead in the Chiefs. You lost that game. Okay. 2020, I think they were in a win-now mode. And they still lost that season. 2021, even then, they could have been in a win-now mode. And they still did terrible that season. Now, 2022, they had Lovie Smith as a head coach. Went terrible. 2023, things worked out for them. They got great head coach D'Amico Ryans. Builds up the players like Nico Collins, builds up a player like CJ Stroud, builds up a player like the running backs they have, Damian Pierce. It's been great for them so far, and now they're getting Stephon Diggs in there. You're going to have, of course, CJ Stroud, Nico Collins, and Stephon Diggs. I mean, that's pretty great. Tank Dell. It's a great team, in my opinion. CJ Stroud throwing balls to those three receivers. All three number one wide receivers at one point in their career they can be. Tank Dell can be one at one point. Nico Collins might already be one. And Stephon Diggs is a top three receiver in the NFL. I love this move, only for a second-round pick. Texans won this trade by far, in my opinion. I get it for the Bills. Need to get rid of Diggs. But for a second-round pick, when you give a first-round pick for him, and I believe he's a better player now than he was when he left Minnesota, don't like that deal at all for Buffalo. Get the move to get rid of him. Don't like the deal, though. Bow for news in the NFL. We got the draft coming up later this month. One of my favorite episodes to do is the mock draft special. I got a mock draft first 5 picks coming on for you later this episode. That's bow for news in the NFL. And then MLB, great first week we had. My New York Mets, the worst team that will be. Hate to see it. Pitching's terrible. Hitting's terrible. Only bright spots have been Francisco Alvarez and Edwin Diaz. Lindor, Alonso, any of those other guys on the team struggling right now, and I hate to see it as a Mets fan. Now, if they're crosstown rivals, New York Yankees, things have been cooking for them. Juan Soto looks like he never wants to leave the pinstripes ever again because he's been great playing for the Yankees. Oswaldo Cabrera is hitting great. Soto really might have just changed the whole culture for hitting and pitching. Pitching's been great even without Gerrit Cole. Love to see it right there. Marlins, another team winless right now. Love to see it right there. Ronald Blanco got a no-hitter in his first start of the season for the Houston Astros. Ronald Blanco, a very underrated name that not many people knew going into the season, has no hitter, wasn't in the rotation last year. First start of the year, Ronald Blanco gets a no hitter. Love to see no hitter early on the season. Anthony Volpe, been great. Otani and Mookie Betts, they're figuring things out, but the Dodgers have been playing amazing. And the Arizona Diamondbacks, playing great, as always. One more thing in MLB, Jackson Trio, number one MLB prospect. Watched him all week in that New York Mets series. Number one prospect, played great in that New York Mets series. And then gets his first career home run today. College basketball, we got the Final Four set. Alabama versus UConn, and Purdue versus North Carolina State after some great Sweet 16 and Elite Eight games. That's about for the headlines. Leave your thoughts in the comments. Now, take of the week. This week's take of the week. It's a great one, and we're going to talk about Jamie Dixon, according to my sources, is going to be the next head coach at USC. TCU head coach Jamie Dixon heading over to USC. And here's my thoughts on this hire. From what I'm hearing, this hire is all about a done deal. Go follow Skirt Sports on Instagram and Twitter if you want more info on that. But this hire is a bad done deal as of right now. Here to hear first on Skirt Sports. I thought they would go in the direction of Eric Musselman. My source told me a last-minute change. Getting Jamie Dixon to be the next head coach at USC. Does this help them keep Brian James? Because Brian James' report came in overnight that he is thinking, or at least has the idea, of entering the transfer portal. There is a first report that he's in the transfer portal. That one got shut down pretty quickly. But is a very real possibility that Bronny James will be into the transfer portal. If that's true, will Bronny James land for USC? Is this a perfect hire to land Bronny James? I say no to keep Bronny James. I say no. But also, is Bronny James your centerpiece for USC basketball? Average 4 points a game this season. I would not say he's your centerpiece. Now for Jamie Dixon, this guy can bring some great people over. Love to see it. It's about for take of the week this week. Now, top five. This week's top five is the top five players to keep your eye on in the Final Four. The top five best players left in this tournament. Let's hop into it. For five, Mark Sears from Alabama. Producer of this show, Jordan, told me that Mark Sears, when he watches him, plays like Jalen Brunson. I had to agree with him on that one. Mark Sears plays exactly like Jalen Brunson. Now he's not at the high level yet. But if you watch Jalen Brunson in college at Villanova, where I still have scars as a Michigan fan from that 2018 national title game, and you watch Mark Sears right now, it's like the same exact thing. Mark Sears pulls him from three. Now, Brunson was the player of the year. Mark Sears is nowhere near player of the year, but he's been playing great in March. Can pull up from anywhere on the court. Can drive anywhere on the court. Saw a thing. After Mark Sears' freshman year of college basketball at George Mason, he shot 29% from three-point range. So at summer, he put up thousands of three-pointers every single day to get better. Now, this season, he's one of the best three-point shooters in the country. Has been showing it in March. I love to see it. Mark Sears, point guard for Alabama, fifth best player in the country left in the NCAA tournament. Player to keep your eye on for the Final Four. Number four, his teammate Grant Nelson, the 6'11" sniper. Next KD, you could say, from North Dakota State. This guy plays like Kevin Durant. Came up so clutch in that game against North Carolina. They got shooters all around the court for Alabama. Guys to keep your eye on are Grant Nelson and Mark Sears. Mark Sears, great player, and Grant Nelson, same thing. Seals the deal against North Carolina, making that free throw. Misses the second one, maybe on purpose, maybe not. Then gets that block on Harrison Ingram full court. 33 points in that game. Love to see it. Grant Nelson, fourth best. Number three, you might say this guy deserves to be hired, but he is box office. And I hate to watch him play basketball. DJ Burns. Now, the reason I hate to watch him play basketball is because I watched him. I went to that game in Dallas, North Carolina State versus Marquette, because I was there for the Duke-Houston game, which great for Duke. They won that game, and I was expecting Duke to shut down North Carolina State. But if you watch this guy in person, everything you think he's not going to do well, he does right. He can shoot. He can drive. He can pass perfectly. And he's going to defend well. Insane basketball IQ. DJ Burns, number three. He's even conditioned well. Love to see it. Three, DJ Burns. Everyone's favorite. Number two, Donovan Clinigan. Just the solid center from UConn. He's been great all of March. Great last year. Great this year. Going to be a lottery pick. Maybe should even be top five. Donovan Clinigan from UConn. Centerpiece of this team. Two players to watch in the Final Four. And number one, the guy I truly hate in college basketball, and I can't wait to get him out, Zach Edey. I'm not supposed to be biased right here, but I'm going to be. I don't like watching Zach Edey play basketball. He drops 40 points, which is great. That's your career high. Free throw machine. Now I get it. You got to get fouled because these little guys can't guard you. And also, when I say little guys, you can refer to a guy who's 6'9" guarding Zach Edey as little because Zach Edey is 7'4". He's Victor Wembanyama without the amazing basketball skills. Now, Zach Edey is a good basketball player, but he's not the level of Victor Wembanyama, and I don't think he ever will be. So that's an outrageous comparison for people to make. I saw Danny Hurley say the other day that he thinks Zach Edey is going to be a superstar in the NBA. I think he's going to be a Boban Marjanovic, like a lot of other people think. Not a bench player, not a starter, not in the rotation, but on a team. That's what Zach Edey can be for you right there. This wasn't meant to be a Zach Edey rant, but if when in college basketball, this guy's dominating the game, 40 points the other night against Tennessee, playing great basketball. Whether you like it or not, Zach Edey's the best player left in the Final Four. I don't like it, but I gotta be honest right here. He's the best player left in the Final Four, and that's about for top five this week. Now, did you know this week's Didn't Know is, did you know we could potentially have a UConn versus North Carolina State championship game in men's and women's on back-to-back days? UConn women's in the Final Four, North Carolina State women's in the Final Four, UConn men's in the Final Four, North Carolina State men's in the Final Four. Didn't know that? Leave it down in the comments. Would you like to see that? Give thoughts and comments. That's about for Didn't Know this week. Now, I want to talk about right here the Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs situation. Are we going to call us a beef? I think we are. And we're also going to call us our spotlight of the week. You could sense from day one that this wasn't going to be an amazing partnership. Josh Allen, different type of guy than Stephon Diggs, you could say. And also, Josh Allen's not really a guy that's going to immediately click with any wide receiver in the NFL. He needs a quarterback's best friend, which I always think is a tight end, which they've never really given him, a Travis Kelce type of player. The reason why Patrick Mahomes' great success in Kansas City isn't because he's a better player than Josh Allen, because Josh Allen's an amazing player, could even say he's the same level as Mahomes, but doesn't have the Super Bowls to show for it, is because Josh Allen doesn't have that superstar, Super Bowl winning head coach. Patrick Mahomes is Andy Reid. Sean McDermott is with Josh Allen. Not throwing shade at Sean McDermott, but Sean McDermott is a defensive guy, while Andy Reid is an offensive guy. And also Andy Reid is a great head coach, friend of this show. For Sean McDermott, always seems to wrap himself up in controversy. Now I think he's a good coach. Is he the perfect coach for this team? I say no. Maybe that's some of the reason why Sean McDermott and Stephon Diggs had a falling out, why Stephon Diggs is no longer on this team. Another thing with Patrick Mahomes, and this Josh Allen thing right here, we'll talk about, the reason why Patrick Mahomes can have great success when his top receiver leaves Tyreek Hill is because he still has that great offensive line and he has that great tight end. Patrick Mahomes has no receivers. He doesn't need receivers, elite receivers, to win this today's NFL. He won a Super Bowl, back-to-back Super Bowls, without a single Pro Bowl wide receiver on his roster. Now for Josh Allen, he had Gabe Davis and Stephon Diggs, but he doesn't have that great tight end. I think Dawson Knox is a good tight end, and I think Dalton Kincaid is a good tight end. Maybe at the end of the day, it can come down to the head coach, Sean McDermott. But at some point in Josh Allen's career, it's going to be time to maybe say, I have this great deal with Buffalo. I have a great deal with Buffalo. But is it maybe time I look elsewhere? Is it maybe time I think of that idea? Because nowadays in the NFL, if you have a great deal, big deal, that doesn't mean much anymore. Just look at Kirk Cousins. Just look at Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson can sign a mega deal and get out of it after 1 year. He would have got out of that deal, controversy or not. There were rumors about him leaving before everything started with him. So for Josh Allen, there's a few quarterback needy teams. I'm not saying right now. I'm not. Because let's see how it goes without Stephon Diggs. Does he really need a top wide receiver? Does he really need a change of scenery? Is Buffalo the best place to be as a quarterback? Heck no. Is Kansas City the best place to be as a quarterback? No. But it works for Patrick Mahomes because he's got the sports staff around him with the tight end. He's got the great defense. And he's got the great head coach, Andy Reid. And he's got full control of whatever he wants, even though he's only a player. He wants to draft Clyde Edwards-Helaire. He can draft Clyde Edwards-Helaire by shooting a text to Andy Reid. And that's exactly what happened. Does Josh Allen have that power in Buffalo? He might have the great contract. But does he have that power? I say no. Because Josh Allen does not have that sports staff around him. How long does this marriage last with Buffalo? Patrick Mahomes is going to be in Kansas City, or with the Chiefs. I wouldn't even say Kansas City. Maybe they're moving. Seen some things like that this week. But he's going to be the Chiefs' whole career. I can't say the same for Josh Allen. I don't see him. I don't even think he'll be a Buffalo his whole career. I'm going to say that right now. In 5 years, Josh Allen will not be a Buffalo Bill. Case closed. That's about for my spotlight this week. Leave it down in the comments. Wasn't Josh Allen's fault Stephon Diggs is gone? It's the Bills. It's Sean McDermott. It's the things they've got going on around there. I think eventually this marriage will end with Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills. Not next year. Not this year. Maybe not even the year after. But eventually, this will end. That's about for my spotlight this week. Now, I told you it was coming. Let's stick with the NFL, and I'll give you my NFL mock draft. Another one until we get to that eventual 32 pick mock draft, the full first round mock draft special. Today we've only got first five picks, but there's some chaos up in here. Let's hop into it. The first pick, Chicago Bears select, easy choice, Caleb Williams. Say what you want about him, say he's weird, say this, he's a great quarterback, he's a great prospect, better prospect than Trevor Lawrence, better prospect than Andrew Luck. Caleb Williams is the number one player in this year's draft and has been for the past 3 years of his college football career and will be the best player from this draft once all said and done. Caleb is a certified Hall of Famer, and I love it. Caleb Williams is going to be the number one pick in this year's NFL draft, the Chicago Bears. Number two, Washington Commanders are on the clock. I must say they pick my guy, J.J. McCarthy, Adam Peters' GM. Seems like they're leaning towards J.J. McCarthy instead of taking on Jaden Daniels and Drake May. J.J. McCarthy going to be the pick for this Commanders squad, and I love it. J.J. McCarthy, Ann Arbor to Washington. Great move right here. J.J. McCarthy is going to silence all the haters in the NFL. Say what you want. Say he's a handoff merchant. Say he cheated. He won a championship. He would have beaten your favorite team, or he did beat your favorite team on the way to that championship. J.J. McCarthy is going to be number two pick to watch the Commanders. Number three, New England Patriots are sitting here saying, "Whoa, we got Drake May still on the board. Maybe we're going to wait till next year. Maybe we're going to take Marvin Harrison Jr. But now we got Drake May on the board. He's a bit raw, but it could work out. You still have Jacoby Brissett on that roster. Teach Drake May up for a year or two. Drake May goes number three to New England Patriots. Number four, Arizona Cardinals comes out the winner of this draft. They end up taking on Marvin Harrison Jr. with the number four overall pick. And it's a great choice right here. Marvin Harrison Jr. is going to be a superstar in the NFL. Maybe he's trying to tank his draft stock a little bit. Didn't do the combine. Didn't do the pro day. Maybe he's trying to go somewhere else. Maybe he's trying to just land Arizona, not go top three. But I have him going right here to Arizona at pick four. Marvin Harrison Jr. over to the Arizona Cardinals. Now pick number five should be the Los Angeles Chargers. But I think they trade this pick. Don't have Marvin Harrison Jr. on the board anymore. Don't need an offensive lineman like Joe Alt. I don't think they go with Brock Bowers right here. Don't get Malik Nabers. They trade this pick over to the Minnesota Vikings, get a big haul from them. Minnesota Vikings are saying, okay, we got great LSU wide receiver Justin Jefferson. We need to keep him happy. Who's one quarterback from this draft we know he'd love to play with? That's Jaden Daniels, everybody. Jaden Daniels in Minnesota, I don't think many people are talking about that right now. That would be a perfect situation for him, in my opinion. You put Jaden Daniels in that offense in Kevin O'Connell's system. This is perfect. Perfect, in my opinion. Better than J.J. McCarthy in Minnesota. Better than Drake May in Minnesota. Jaden Daniels in Minnesota is just a perfect marriage right here between NFL quarterback and team. I want to see it. That's my NFL mock draft. We got a few more of these coming up until we got the 32-pick mock draft special on draft day. Get ready for that in the next 2 weeks. But here's my NFL mock draft top five for episode 163. Still more to come. Now, at the buzzer, everybody, before I end this episode, I had to do my final four picks, had to give you my national champion. Now, not going to lie, Squared Sports fans, this has been a terrible bracket season, the worst bracket season I've ever had, unfortunately. The Squared Sports first bracket, Kentucky, terrible. The remake, the Sweet 16 bracket, even worse, you could say. Arizona had them winning that, they lose again in the Sweet 16. So, pick Kentucky in the first one, they lose first round, picked Arizona, their next game, they lose. So it's just all disappointment around bracket season. We've got a great Final Four. We've got UConn versus Alabama, which is going to be a great game. I can't wait to see Grant Nelson versus Donald Clinton again. Can't wait to watch Tristan Newton versus Mark Sears. Can't wait to watch DJ Burns versus Zach Edey. That's going to be a great matchup right there. Let's dive into these picks. First one, UConn versus Alabama. UConn has not lost a game in the past two NCAA tournaments, and they have not been close. Past two NCAA tournaments, UConn has not had a game closer than 13 points. That's Danny Hurley excellence right there. And that's exciting for UConn fans to know that they have never been in danger of losing the NCAA tournament game in the past 2 years. I see this being a little bit of a Gonzaga 2021 situation. Gonzaga 2021, undefeated, great season. And they won their semifinal game to get the championship. Now, they lost in the championship. Do we see that with UConn this year? I don't know. You're going to have to wait and see my pick. But I got UConn into my national championship, everybody. Very close game. Closer than experts think. 81-73. Close for UConn. Great offensive game. UConn's closest game in the past two NCAA tournaments comes right here against Nate Oates in Alabama. Great for Nate Oates to get into the Final Four. SEC guy. Rough regular season, you could say, but bounce back and is in the Final Four. It can laugh on everybody right now. Say, you want to laugh at me? Losing for UConn? I made the Final Four. You guys didn't. And for Danny Hurley, he's in the national championship where he faced off against the winner, Purdue versus North Carolina State. I am excited to watch DJ Burns versus Zach Edey. That is box office. For America, DJ Horn versus Brady Mason Gillis. You got Fletcher Lawyer versus McConnell. There's so many times this season where North Carolina State shouldn't have been here. Kevin Keats versus Matt Painter. Kevin Keats probably shouldn't have a job right now if they don't win that ACC tournament. He wouldn't. Winning the ACC tournament automatically locked in a two-year extension for him on his contract. Making the Sweet 16, I think, even locked in another 2 years. Winning the national championship? That gets him tenure, probably. But Kevin Cates has done a great job at North Carolina State, and he keeps it going. There were so many times, like I said, they could have not hit that buzzer beater to go overtime against Virginia. The Virginia player could have made the free throw. They could have lost to Duke in the ACC tournament. They could have lost to Duke in the Elite Eight. They could have lost to Oakland. Refs could have given Oakland possession of that ball, then regulation. Instead, North Carolina State got that ball, and they won overtime. So many times this year where North Carolina State could have lost. For Purdue, it's been easy sledding for them all year. Less than five losses. They've been great. Didn't win the Big Ten tournament. Still, easy season for them. I want to see DJ Burns versus Zach Edey. I want to see how tough Zach Edey is, because DJ Burns isn't scared. No, they both get very favorable calls, in my opinion. Watching that whole NCAA tournament run for North Carolina State, DJ Burns does get favorable calls. But at the end of the day, it's not DJ Burns that makes the difference for North Carolina State. It's going to be DJ Horn. It's going to be these guards. Mohamed Diarra, the center, alongside DJ Burns. Those are the guys that are going to step up. Maybe they neutralize DJ Burns a little bit. It's going to be a great game. I got North Carolina State win this one 65-64 over Purdue into the national championship. Will they face off against the UConn Huskies? Does UConn repeat, or do we get the first ever 11 seed to win the national championship? Drum roll, please. I got the UConn Huskies, who should have been my pick all along from the beginning, winning the national championship. Tristan Newton ends his career on a high after winning the national championship last year. Donovan Clinigan goes out on a high. Stephon Castle goes out on a high. Cam Spencer wins the championship. And Danny Hurley makes himself maybe the best coach in college basketball, winning a back-to-back national championships. Something Coach K couldn't even do. A legend of this game. So that's about it for my At the Buzzer Final Four picks. Leave your thoughts in the comments. Now, question day. This week's question day is, who will win MVP in the NBA? One more week left. Can't be Joel Embiid. I think right now it's between Nikola Jokic and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Great game where the other night against the New York Knicks. But Jokic is unstoppable. Overtime winning against Wemby the other night. Great game that was. So who's going to win NBA MVP? Leave your thoughts on that in the comments. That's about for my question day this week. That's about for episode 163. Thank you for tuning in. Follow Squirt Sports on Instagram at Squirt Sports. Follow Squirt Sports on X at Squirt Sport. Follow Squirt Sports on TikTok at Squirt Sports. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review for the best sports content in the world. Be back here next week, episode 164. Stay tuned.